gather round, Kidmen leaders, and be encouraged and equipped as you build the kingdom. Now here's your host, Amber Pike.
Welcome back to the Kidmen Huddle. In the world that we live in, there are lots of amazing resources at our disposal. Now, more than ever in history, we have so many cool, awesome, engaging things that we can use to teach boys and girls about Jesus. Before, like when I was growing up, you had overhead projector sheets that you could draw on and a flannel graph. There were a few things, but nothing like now where you've got publisher after publisher, resource provider after resource provider, just creating really cool things. There are toys and books and graphics and printables and all the things that you can imagine. But how closely do you as a ministry leader really look over the things that you're using? Like, have you shown a video to your kids without watching all of it? And maybe you were surprised? Or did you read the book that you sent home before you sent it home? Today, I want to caution you. As a ministry leader, maybe if you are a parent listening to this, or maybe you as a ministry leader are going to give this word of caution to the parents in your ministry. Just because something is published by a Christian publisher, just because it has been written by a Christian author, just because it's written by an author that you have previously used and trusted resources from, doesn't mean that it's okay. There were two examples recently that I came across, and they angered me and saddened me. One of them you likely saw online. I don't even know the title of this book, but there was a book that came out, a kid's picture book about the baptism of Jesus, and the author had quoted Jesus in this book saying, "I have come to wash my sins away." I cannot begin to express the depth of what is wrong with that. It is not just taking creative liberties, but it is distorting truth. It has added to God's word, which we are explicitly warned against, commanded not to do, and it completely negates Jesus and the gospel and all things. So, yeah, real bad. Those hopefully you will quickly recognize as dangers. And they're out there. There are books that are just theologically not okay. This I would put in the hard, that is theologically not okay. But there are also some that are maybe a little more subtle that you might not notice are really changing God's word. There is a book that I was given to read to a group of kids. And as I read through, I'm not a big fan of in church time using kids' picture books. Anyways, I want kids in the word. I want them to hear the word. So that was step one. And I'm reading through this book, and I see that the author is adding words being said from God. So they are quoting God saying something that he did not say in the Bible. The things that they were quoting completely changed the story. So this was about Abraham and Isaac. And the author then had God tell Abraham that he is supposed to sacrifice his son Isaac to prove how much he loves him. That's not in the Bible. God did not give a reason why he wanted Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. That's where faith comes in. Now, we as believers reading the Bible thousands of years later, we assume that that was part of it, is that God wanted to see if Abraham's love for him was bigger than his love for his son that he was so excited for, his son that was promised. But God didn't tell Abraham that. Because, man, if God just told us the reason that he wants us to do certain things, wouldn't that be so much easier? So much easier than having to, I don't know, rely on your faith and trust in God and walk in obedience even when it's hard. So by adding words that God didn't say, even in a kid's picture book, You just changed the Bible. Yes, this isn't the Bible. It is a kid's picture book based off the Bible, but you're adding words to God. I have a problem with that. But then too, by adding those words, and they were used later in the book as well, with an angel saying the same thing, you've just changed the message, the purpose. Theologically, you just distorted God's word as well. How many times do we see this in the things that we are using with or showing to our kids? Another big one, if you were to go to any kids area at your church, like nursery books, maybe perhaps your bookshelf, look at any book about Noah's Ark. Isn't it cute? Isn't that little boat so cute? That little giraffe's usually poking his head out. Totally would have survived that violent worldwide flood, right? That cutesy little boat. No, because that's not what God described in the Bible. But by making it cute and trying to kiddie-ize it, we're taking away from God's word. The flood was a big, violent, I mean, the waters burst forth from the deep, and volcanoes were happening, and earthquakes, and crazy rain, and it was very violent. No way that cutesy little ark that wouldn't have been big enough to even fit all of the people and the animals could have survived that. See, when we are making things for kids, we have to make sure that we are still representing God's truth. Because that cute little bathtub arc on those books, then it becomes more like a story, a fable. You know, it's up there with Cinderella and her pumpkin carriage. Just because they're children doesn't mean that we need to water it down or distort it so much that it loses the truth. So I challenge you, go through your church library. Go through your resources. Go through maybe your personal library. Are the books and the movies, the posters, the take-homes, are all of these things accurately telling God's word? Now, there are going to be some creative liberties taken. We don't have all of the facts about stuff. You know, what was Noah's wife's name? We don't know. Mrs. Noah. You know, there are things that can be compared with maybe history. Josephus, the historian, can add in information and stuff. But there are things we don't know. There are creative liberties that are taken that I think can be within the realm of okay. You know, we don't know what any of these people look like. We don't know what color fabric they wore. We don't know what dinosaurs look like. What color were they? Were they pink with yellow lightning stripes? They could be. We don't know what color they were. We weren't there. So there are artistic, creative liberties that are taken, but are those being done at the expense of the gospel? There are things that I, as a mom, have chucked. I've tossed them in the trash. Someone has given them to me, and I found them, I'm going to boldly say the word, so offensive. I found them so offensive against God's word that I did not even want to donate them to a Goodwill or sell them at the bookstore. I wanted them gone out of the world because I don't want another parent to pick that up. Maybe a parent who is not as familiar with God's word and think, oh, this is God's word. Look at this cute story. It's going to teach my kid, because no, it's teaching sacrilege. What are we teaching our kids through the media they're exposed to? Through the books, through the videos? Are they hearing God's word as truth? That's my challenge to you, to carefully evaluate. And then I want to challenge you, man, give them more depth. Do they really need a picture book? Or should they be hearing God's word? At my last church, I had a classroom set of Bibles. I had a budget, but I mean, Bibles, have you seen the price of Bibles? It's $40 for a Bible. And you want to get a good kid one. Please, if that's all you have, then go the Dollar Tree route. But those aren't as easy for children to understand. Visually, just kids' Bibles are made with kids in mind. So if you can afford it, get a kid's Bible. If not, a couple of quick tips. Maybe you have people in your congregation who would love to buy a Bible or donate. Maybe they want to buy a classroom set. But then what I did, I love the Adventure Bible. the NIV Adventure Bible for Kids, and I would go to Half Price Books and I would buy them on clearance. I could find Bibles for a dollar. Sure, it had someone's name in the front. Well, so what? It's a classroom set. And my kids would get rough on the Bibles. Maybe the used ones wouldn't hold up as long, and I literally had Bibles that had duct tape holding them together. It was mustache duct tape, so of course these were the coveted Bibles that everyone wanted to have. One of them I accidentally taped in upside down when it came out of its cover with the mustache duct tape, and that was the favorite. But get a classroom set of Bibles and get your kids in it, even ones who can't read. It was a great way to engage my older kids who could quickly find where we were at in the Bible. I would have my friends who couldn't read put their hands up, and my teens would walk around and I would assign my older friends to go and help them find it in the Bible. Could they follow along? Honestly, some of them could not. So what? They were in God's word, and then they were hearing God's word. They were hearing the truth. So I ask again, do they need the picture book? Now, littles, you know, babies, picture books are good. There are times when we are going to tell God's story instead of reading it. We're going to paraphrase and make it shorter, but you should always have one point in your lesson where you are in God's word. So I'm not saying that shortening the story or even having a picture book is inherently wrong, but they need to hear God's word. But that picture book, that shortened story, man, it needs to match God's word. You should never be quoting God saying things that he did not say. You should never be taking things out of context, trying to simplify it for the children so much that you've distorted the truth. In your explanation or your paraphrasing of the Bible account, did you change the meaning? We are warned not to add to or to take away from God's word. And as a ministry leader, you are held at a higher standard. You are. We're told that in scripture, that you are held at a higher standard. So you best be making sure the things that are coming from you, the things used in the classroom, the things recommended, the things sent home, it needs to be okay. Do not recommend a book to a parent until you've read it. I have, quite frankly, wasted money ordering books that I wanted to make sure it was okay before I sent it home. It might look awesome, but I'm going to read it through. I have looked at Christian resources that had a cuss word in it. One's made for teens, and there's a cuss word. There's a book for teens that 9 out of 10 chapters were amazing, but there was one chapter in there, one chapter where I felt like she was almost encouraging a alternative sinful lifestyle rather than pointing God's truth about that. Just the way that the wording, it was almost like, yeah, I did this and that was fine. That was me. I still struggle with it, but it's a sin. And I didn't like the wording on it, this whole chapter. An amazing resource I would have loved to recommend, but that one chapter gave me pause because I don't feel like it represented God's truth. So I won't recommend it. Please take that stand. Read everything, watch everything before you send it home, before you use it in a classroom. And if it does not line up with God's word, it does not need to be shown, used, recommended. Even the little tiniest members of your church, those babies in the nursery, they need to be given God's word, not God's word and God's word with God's word. Make sure it is truth. So go check through your library, your nursery, your computer, your resources. Watch those things. Make that hard call. It is not a misuse of church resources. It's not bad stewardship. If it is not lining up with God's word, it does not need to be in your church or in your home. There's your assignment for the week. Stand in the authority of the word and teach our boys and girls how to do that by discerning, are the resources we use accurately, properly, and boldly standing on God's word? And remember, Kidmin leaders, what you do matters.